Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 79. This is the show about the TV, movies, comics, and books that you love. Every week we give you a little bit of geek news and then jump into the fandoms for discussion. This week we're going to be talking about the panels that we are excited about for Salt Lake Comic Con 2016. I am the volunteer manager that's in charge of turning things off and on again. I am Brandon Uscio. And joining me is the man who is still working on his cosplay, Nick English.
Lonzy.
And somehow he's still in line for Stan Lee, Jeff Dumas.
This is the Stan Lee line. Oh my gosh, I've been in the wrong line for weeks. Oh, jeez.
Well, I don't know how you got into that Stan Lee line though.
I'm here and the banner is still up. His photo's still there. There's no one stopping me. The Salt Palace is scary at night.
You put that banner up, Jeff.
Not anymore. Not my problem.
I don't think that he's coming to this one, Jeff.
No. I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. I don't care.
All right. I'm going to confess. I just wrote on a piece of paper Stan Lee and put it up in the Salt Palace. I didn't think anyone would fall for it.
I can't afford Stan Lee's autograph. Are you crazy? I have to spend money on four other people. I can't afford his, too.
Okay. So,
Jeff's having a hard time adulting today.
I know. Being an adult is terrible. It's like the worst thing in the world.
All I've done today is binge watch Constantine, and it was
great
rough.
Adulting, Jeff. That's awesome. I wish I could do that. I have been playing Xbox One a lot today because I did finally get my Xbox One this week. So if you want to come play with me, I'll give you my gamer tag.
I was wondering where that was going. If you want to play with me, please don't come to my house.
Don't come to my house. Only online. Wait, that didn't work either.
Oh boy. Before we go too much further off the rails, well, you know what? We're off
too
the rails.
Too late.
Well, let's bring us back onto the rails then. Let's jump into the random fandom.
You're a wizard.
You are entering the random fandom.
This is the segment where you guys send in the fandoms that you love and enjoy. This week, we have sent in to us from Sarah Lynn. She says, "Hey guys, I hear that one of your team is waffling on Supergirl."
How dare they?
Wait, who was that?
Seriously, who? Oh, right. Shut up, Jeff.
I'm so glad that you are self-flagellating because I was going to tell you to shut up and then you did it for me.
No, I'll own up to it. Yeah.
But you know this is her pitch. She says the best thing about Supergirl is that it's not Arrow, nor is it Smallville or The Flash. The show deals with plenty of drama, but they don't lose sight of the fact that this is a woman in her early 20s wrestling with a split identity, a legacy of heroism, and a living community around her deeds. It's equal parts alien action and day job frustrations. Whereas Clark Kent always felt like a facade to me in Superman films, Kara's identity becomes her sanctuary. As difficult as it can be, it's the part of her life that she chooses, not what is thrust upon her by her destiny. So every time she works to preserve it as a necessary part of her identity, there's real emotional resonance to it. I also appreciate that Supergirl has general audience appeal while being unapologetically speaking to a female audience. Now, I'm going to disagree on that one just a second because I felt very much that it was speaking to me as a 30-something-year-old male. But she goes on to say, "I don't want to spoil the newbies, but the season finale makes a conversation about the film Working Girl that almost made me cry. It was so well done. Little girls grow up their whole lives learning to internalize the emotional journeys of boys and men who become heroes on screen and in books. It's nice to think that school-age boys can watch Supergirl and connect to the emotional journey of a young woman." She says, "It just finished a very satisfying season overall. Give it time, and Supergirl treats you right. It's like warm, comfy soup. It's not perfect, but it knows what it's about. And one more thing, definitely watch the Flash crossover. Even if you skip ahead to that one, it's good. Barry plus Kara is like a meeting of two golden retriever puppies. There's an ice cream scene that just by itself is worth the entire episode. Thanks, Sarah Lynn." Okay, so I have to agree with her completely on the crossover. The ice cream scene is just hilarious, but you guys wouldn't know that because you haven't watched it yet.
Hey, I'm getting there. I watched one more episode since we last spoke about it.
Okay.
Yeah, So I've made progress.
All right, so you haven't given up on it. You've watched another episode. You know,
no.
We're getting close to having it come back. So
see, the problem is that I started watching Stranger Things as well, and so that just kind of got taken in front of it. I'm still not done with it either, but
I still haven't started that one. I've had a couple things on my plate, but
it's very good, very good.
So anyway, I think that goes to the biggest problem that we have watching all of these superhero shows. Is that we live in a day and age where it's not just like one network doing a lot of cool stuff or one TV show that we want to watch. It is you know, you've got so many choices and so many options. You know, one thing that I said, this is one of the superhero films that my non-comic book loving wife will sit down and watch with me. And I think it has a lot to do with what Sarah says in her letter here. She says that it's about a 20-something wrestling with her split identity, and that's the identity that she chooses.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like the way she worded that, because it really isn't a show about Supergirl. It's about Kara and how, yeah. So I like that a lot.
I think Melissa Benoit, I don't know how to say her last name. That's how I'm pretending it's said. Benoist. Let's go with Benoist, because that's most obviously that's wrong.
Clearly not right.
I think she is undercredited as an actress, because there's something completely different about her when she's in her Kara than when she is in Supergirl.
Yeah.
I
think she's kind of paying homage to the way that Christopher Reeves played Clark Kent, even just a little bit. Like, I see that in her portrayal of it.
Yes.
Where it's just kind of like, haha, I'm just kind of, haha. But to me, it's like, that's who she really is. And then she's trying to be the, you know, superhero and like put on the, you know, the big girl boots. And so like, that's what makes it interesting, is that she really is just kind of this fumbling girl. And then she's trying to, you know, overcome those inadequacies to become this super being that's supposedly supposed to help. And I think that that's what I like about the show.
Have you gotten to the Red Kryptonite episode yet?
No.
There are some obvious homages to the classic Superman movies.
Oh, yeah.
So what you said there, I would completely agree with, and they almost spell that out completely.
I'm right
in these homages.
Like, I'm right in the part where the big reveal of John, like, that's
okay. Kinda,
that's like right where I am. So I'm not too far in, but I'm not. I'm in. You know, like, I've watched a bunch of episodes. So
you're committed now. You're just not like binging it.
It's just one of those. I mean, it's the same problem that I've always said, is that I just forget. Like, I just turn on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime. Like, I'm like, okay, what am I going to watch? And I go through those three, and it's just not on the, oh, yeah, I'm watching this thing. So, like, I need a whiteboard or something. Yeah.
It is not on a place that we can watch it easily. Now, this next season is going to be on the CW website and the CW app just the next day after it airs. So, and that's how all the other CW shows are going to be. They're not going to be on Hulu anymore. And so it will be, you know, it's free. You don't need a cable subscription. We talked about that. And I think it'll be much easier to stay up to date with it when it's like, oh, well, this night is my Supergirl night. The next night is my Flash night.
I think the fact that CW picked it up for a second season is great. But the fact that they haven't posted the first season anywhere is kind of ridiculous.
Well, it's probably just CBS. It's just CBS being.
But I mean, still,
that's how,
like,
CBS does stuff.
They're just stupid. I hate them.
CW is the one making this decision, then they're intentionally alienating, well, at least me. I can't be the only person who hasn't watched it, you know. And I want to see it? Question mark?
I almost promise. Yeah, you do. You do want to see it. I'm going to tell you that right now. You don't get a choice. You want to see it.
Yes, sir.
Now whether or not you are able to see it is another story. Because the first season, CBS owns the rights to it still. They're passing it on to CW, but CBS owns the rights to the first season, and they have a digital media plan that they follow, which drives everybody nuts. And I think that's what one of the biggest problems with this show is, because, you know, the NCIS Kentucky, you know, whatever that is.
Don't give them the idea. Please, no more NCIS.
You know, nobody cares if you can watch that the next day after it airs, because who cares?
Because their target audience is staying up late and going, oh boy, tonight's the new episode of NCIS. Because that's what old people sound like.
Is that what old people sound like?
That's what they sound like in my house.
But they don't. for the most part, they don't get on to streaming video sites to watch their shows, whereas our generation does. So I think that moving to the CW is a great move and will help Supergirl out a lot. And I, for one, am very excited about it. Kara, I'm really excited about the crossover that they're going to do, not just because I love musicals and stuff like that, but because Kara and Barry's chemistry was just so amazing. Because there were a couple scenes where some of the male people on Supergirl are like getting jealous of Barry, and it's because they have a great chemistry in the crossover. And
so do we need to start a petition for like Kara and Barry? So we need to start doing like no more Iris.
Are we going to call him Carrie or Barra?
Barra's better. Barra's better just because it's not a name.
It's the name of a street by my house.
Oh, really?
This would be like the weirdest.
Oh, now I can stalk you. Wait, no, I'm just kidding.
This would be like the weirdest Romeo and Juliet ever because they're in different planet. They're universes entirely. Currently.
They're going to do something that brings them all together, all the worlds smashing together, Flashpoint's going to start, and everything's going to change.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
Arrow is going to turn into Batman. Flash is going to change minimally.
Yeah, Arrow really is just Batman now. It's bad.
Arrow needs so much work.
You have failed this show.
When in her pitch when she said it wasn't Arrow, I'm like, okay, I'm in.
The best thing about Supergirl is that it's not Arrow. Yeah. All right, yeah, that sounds good to me.
It's just so sad because I love Green Arrow, but man, it's not.
Well, he didn't become
Arrow.
Green Arrow until season 3.
Yeah, and he's not Green Arrow.
He's called Green Arrow.
Yeah, he's.
They're bringing him back to his street origins, apparently, in this next one, which I'm not exactly sure what that means.
I don't
means.
Know what that means. Does it mean he's going to start killing people again?
I don't know. I don't know.
Isn't Green Arrow supposed to be like comic relief, in a sense? Yes. Like he's supposed to be sarcastic? Yeah. I mean,
he's a jolly Robin Hood.
You can't turn this guy into that character.
Yeah.
You know, we're never going to see
that.
He's
got way
Green
too
Arrow.
Much backstory. And also, you know, I love Armel, but I don't think he could do that.
You don't think he can do the sarcastic end?
Yeah, I don't really.
No,
I think
he can. I think he can because, you know, I've watched several of his panels in different conventions. I've, you know, heard interviews of him, and I think he could do it. I think that he was given a direction that he was not, that is not good for Green Arrow. They tried to lighten him up quite a bit, but at the beginning of this last season, but then the writers just kind of tanked on the season.
Sure.
So I think he could do it. I'm hopeful.
I want him
but
to grow
I almost
a beard.
Wonder if Berlanti has too many things going on right
maybe.
Now too.
I want him to grow a beard.
He had a beard in the pilot.
I want him to have like the big Robin Hood, like you know,
you
Green
want,
Arrow.
You want Robin Hood?
Goatee. No, I don't. Well,
you want modern
yeah,
Robin
I love
Hood.
I love Robin Hood. The first time I ever got exposed to Green Arrow was in one of my dad's comic books because he didn't ever have Green Arrow comic books, but there was those little like inserts in between. So like when you're reading the story and then all of a sudden they're like, here's a mini story about Green Arrow. And he was just dressed in his Robin Hood. And it was, I mean, this was in the 60s or whenever this comic book was written. And I just thought it was so hilarious because he goes into this cave and like fights a dinosaur. And so it was probably the story of when he was on the island learning how to be Green Arrow. And I just thought it was, you know, me and my little 10-year-old mind. I was like, this is hilarious. He has a boxing glove arrow, you know. You know, she's just using all these weird arrows. And I fell in love with him then. And he was kind of like my dark horse. Like, yes, I love Green Arrow. And people are like, who is he? And I'm like, I'm cool because I know this. And then they came out with the series. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. And then it was like nothing of that. And I was like, well, I guess they couldn't do campy Green Arrow, but still, you know.
Can you imagine a 66 Green Arrow
oh my
type
gosh.
Show? That would be so much fun.
I want that.
In case you were wondering, though, Green Arrow is never going to have a goatee. Stephen Amell on Twitter said, when he was asked if he was going to grow out a goatee, he said 100% no, never. Our show could go 14 seasons and a goatee will never appear. Hope that clears things up forever.
And celebrities always tell the truth.
Well, the reason he said that was he's like, during season 2 hiatus, I grew a beard and I fashioned a goatee while shaving it. It looked like someone with a record trying to blend into a new city.
Okay.
Well, you know, and if it goes 14 seasons, I mean, I wasn't able to grow a decent goatee until I was a lot older, so maybe it'll
fill
in.
I haven't shaved in 3 weeks and it looks like I've got 10 hairs coming out of me.
No,
so
you're Asian.
I get where. Well, we grow the cool Fu Manchus. We grow the cool Fu Manchus.
And I'm very jealous.
You know,
I was trying to get a Fu Manchu going for a Comic-Con, but it's just not working.
Maybe next year.
If I grow it out for an entire year is basically what that boils down to.
You know, I'm okay with the lack of goatee.
Well, you got 3 months, right? Or what? No, it's 3 weeks. So you're well on your way.
3 weeks? What are you talking about?
That's what he just said.
I've been growing for 3 weeks. And
Okay.
My wife, if I don't shave it soon, my wife's going to kill me. She said, well, maybe you can grow it one more week because I'm not going to see you this week. Because I'm going to be at Comic-Con and she's not.
That's
so
really funny. So my grandma, she comments on my beard every single time I go over there. And it's really funny because she's just anti-beards. She's 101 years old. She just celebrated her birthday. And she grew up in the Great Depression, and she's just very opinionated, and like she's worked hard every day of her life. And so every time I go over there, she's like, oh, yeah, what are you doing with your beard? And I said, if I shave off my beard, then my wife will be very upset, and she'll leave me. And she always looks at me with this really confused look and says, really? Because I would never allow my husband to have whiskers because no. And she just goes off on this big thing. That's literally like every time I go and see her, we have this conversation. It's pretty funny. So I can understand your wife saying, shave it off, because my grandma gives me that grief every time I go see her.
Yeah. So, I do want to go back to one thing that we were talking about with Supergirl, though. I'll tell you. I'm so excited that my two young boys, they'll sit down and watch it with me. And so they're growing up in a world where they're seeing this really cool Supergirl story. But cool. Not just my two young boys, but my little girl, my little almost 2-year-old. She is so rambunctious. She's going, you know, my wife's going to hate it, but she is going to be such a geek. She loves the pretty stuff already, but she also loves the superheroes. DC Superhero Girls on YouTube is just one of her favorite things to watch. I am so excited that my daughter gets to grow up in an era, and my sons too, that they all get to grow up in an era where you can have strong women who are not threatening to you. And when you look at Melissa Benoist, because that's how you say it. she doesn't come across. She's not your stereotypical, type A personality, or she's not butch. She is. It just goes to show you can be any type of girl and be strong girl. You don't have to be pantsuit wearing Hillary Clinton to be a strong female. You can be an assistant to a CEO and still be a strong woman. I'm excited about that.
She's also really awesome at fighting, which is fun.
Yeah, the fight scenes are awesome. They are.
Yeah, they really are, which makes it enjoyable because it could be really not good, but they are hardcore, which makes it fun. So,
yeah, as soon as they make it just slightly easier to watch, I'll be watching it.
So that is our random fandom. Thank you, Sarah, for writing in and setting Jeff straight about that.
I didn't insult it.
No, you didn't insult it, but you were waffling. You were waffling. You're like, I'm not sure if I really want to watch this or not. Okay.
That set him straight. It sounded like you that tone. Set him straight tone for a second. It sounded like you were about to tear me a new one. Like, you're watching this show. Dang it!
Well, you are. Well, we already discussed that. It's not a choice.
I'll watch your nerd show. Jeez.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Okay. So let's jump over into some feedback now. In regards to one of our news stories last week, Joe Dorowski from the Protagonist podcast wrote in and said, quick note concerning the upcoming Avengers films. They announced that the third film is still named Avengers Infinity War, but they're renaming the fourth film. They're still being filmed simultaneously, so a lot of the cast will be the same, but the director said they are so tonally different that they didn't want to name them Part 1 and Part 2. So, I think you were the one who brought that up, weren't you, Jeff, that they decided that they were
not.
Yeah,
I heard somewhere that they dropped the Part 1 and 2. I would have assumed Infinity War would be the final movie, but I mean, either way, it doesn't matter what they call them. I'm going to see it.
Avengers.
I'm
setting
Avengers,
up for the next thing.
Avengers, the search for it. More money. I'm happy they're dropping the Part 1 and Part 2 just because Part 1 just sounds like it's going to end on a cliffhanger, and then we're going to have to wait 2 years to see another one. So it's, by dropping it entirely is probably the better choice.
So we can go for Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Aftermath?
Sure.
It's going to be like Infinity Infinite Crisis is going to happen next.
Infinity Plus 1.
Infinite Crisis is DC?
Like, so they're going to totally take it away from them or something. Like, okay.
Like, DC, let us show you how to make films. We'll even make yours.
They'll figure something out.
I saw somewhere that Joe Dorowski, he has edited a book of essays about the Justice League. So I'm going to try to find a link on Amazon and put that in the show notes. So thank you, Joe, for writing in. And why don't you ever plug your stuff? Come on. So that was our feedback. If you have anything that you want to write in and tell us about, whether it is a random fandom or a comment about something that we've said or something just completely off the wall about fandoms, go ahead and write into us at feedback@fandompodcast.com. Head over to facebook.com/fandompodcast. You can post on or post a comment on our posts over there, or you can head over to our website, fandompodcast.com/contact. Okay, guys, let's jump into the top news. Okay, so earlier this week, Nick, you found an article about the Soviet monuments in Bulgaria being vandalized, but they are being vandalized in a very special way. Do you want to tell us about that, Nick?
So the government has asked that the people of Bulgaria stop painting the statues of the war memorials into superheroes of American superheroes. So it was just kind of funny to me. I was like, this is really kind of hilarious that they're doing this.
And they did a really good job of that, too. Like,
yeah, I mean, the Superman ass is a little off, but...
It always is.
Well, yeah.
But you know what? If they were doing it quickly so they don't get thrown in jail for their entire life or something, then yes, it looks
awesome. I think it's important to point out, though, that it isn't the government saying... It's the Russian government saying, stop vandalizing Soviet monuments.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But it's the Russian government saying that to Bulgarians in Bulgaria. So...
So they're like, you're hurting our statues that are in your in your country. Stop doing that. And they're like, shrug.
While some of it might be easy to say, hey, these are World War II monuments here. You shouldn't disgrace veterans like that. You got to remember that these are World War II monuments that were built by invaders in a country that ended up being invaded by the USSR. And so it's not, it's a tricky, I'm not going to say who's right and who's wrong, but it's a tricky political.
But thing. It's not the people vandalizing their own statues. It's them saying we don't want to remember invaders.
Yeah. You know, and maybe that, and you know, because they came in not as invaders, but as protectors. And then they just were like, and we'll just stay here for a while.
Oh.
So, what I find really funny is that, so I'm looking at this, there is a Green Army man. There's the Joker, there's Wolverine, there is Santa Claus, Superman, Ronald McDonald, Captain America, the Boy Wonder, and Wonder Woman. I'm laughing at Santa Claus and Ronald McDonald being included with American superheroes.
Well, nothing says America like Ronald McDonald.
It's very true. They like even put Captain America's shield like on the gun. like they really planned this out. They were like, okay, this one's gonna, you know, like they didn't just go into it saying whatever, like Wolverine is holding his arm out like he's got his claws and stuff. I don't know. It's just really funny.
And Santa's got his Tommy gun. I mean,
well, yeah.
Very traditional.
What Santa do you believe in? I believe the Futurama Santa where he's a robot who goes to kill everyone every Christmas. Yeah.
Okay, I will have a picture of this in the show notes. If you are on the iOS podcasts app, you will have to head over to fandompodcast.com and click on the link over there. But if you're in pretty much anything else, you can just tap on the artwork and you'll have the image in there.
When you look at it, just so you know, the translation of the graffiti right in front of it is in step with the times.
You know, it's interesting. It's actually really political, but us Americans, we can just laugh at it for a minute, and then we are brought to the knowledge of what's going on in world affairs. So if anyone says, where did you learn about your world affairs this week, you can say the Fandom Podcast. Please don't. Well, you can say that, but please don't be serious about it. All right, so our next news story is that, you know, there's been a lot of controversy lately about who is going to step in for Iron Man, or, you know, honestly, we don't know why they're stepping in for Iron Man, but Riri Williams, we've talked about her before. She is the black MIT student who has built her own Iron Man suit. Marvel came out and has said that she will be known as Iron Heart. So she's not going by Iron Man. And a lot of people were like, well, that's just stupid if she's Iron Man because she's not a man. And, you know.
Well, they could have gone the line when Iron Man first started of, this is my bodyguard, Iron Man. and then no one knows there's a woman inside, and that's her story.
That's true. That's true. That actually would have been really interesting to have her be treated like a man, but then like take off the suit and like show how the same people treat her differently based on her gender. That could be cool.
Someone write that down.
Change everything you're doing.
Jeff had an idea, guys. Guys, Jeff had an idea. Take care of that.
just reminds me of the scene from Captain America and everything explodes in the lab and Howard Stark just goes, write that down.
You know, it was interesting. Brian Michael Bendis, he did an interview with Polygon where he was talking about it. He's like, well, obviously we don't want to go with Iron Woman because that's just too cliche and it felt a little primitive. So he said that they thought about going with the name Iron Maiden, but he was like, the legalities on that one might have been a little frustrating.
Well, and an Iron Maiden is like a torture device in medieval times, so...
It's also the name of a popular rock band.
Yeah, it would have been a rock band. Think about it when, in the first Iron Man movie, when Tony Stark comes out and he says, I am Iron Man. I mean, that's the name of a popular rock song.
And then they immediately played that song.
They did. So how perfect would it have been to be Iron Maiden?
In my young life, when Bill and Ted said, Iron Maiden... Excellent. I didn't even know about the rock band named Iron Maiden. So I thought that they were like super excited about medieval torture. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like it wasn't until much later that I was like, oh, okay. Now I get it.
You know, I'm excited about this because, you know, Brian Michael Bendis has said, you know, he was tired of writing a story about a white male superhero. And he was like, I want to try something different because, I mean, really, no matter which superhero you go to, you're kind of dealing with a white male superhero for the most part. Marvel's changed a bunch of stuff lately, but let's throw one more on there. Let's give you a different avenue and a different place because if the writer's getting bored, the stories are going to start to suck.
So when are we going to have all female Avengers? Because we've already got Thor and now Iron Man.
It's called the A-Force. It's already out there.
Well... That's different than he means flat out every
single one.
So
she
does that mean,
around. We got her. Let's
does see. That mean we're going to get a male Black Widow?
You know
just
what?
Completely.
It's just going to be Winter Soldier. He's just going to be like, I am now Black Widow. No, I don't know.
What's a male?
Black Widower.
Widower. There you go.
Jeez. Yes. Black Widow has died. I am now the Black Widower. Whomever she decides to marry, that's who it's going to be. The Black Widower.
Oh, boy.
Has there been any saying about, like, is Tony Stark stepping down? Is he going to die? Is there any...
So,
like, I heard a rumor that this probably means he's not going to make it out of Civil War 2.
So what I'm reading in this interview says that Tony Stark has already met Williams, and so Williams is... an engineering prodigy from MIT. She's keen to develop a new army inspired by the suits that got Stark's attention and the whole new story to go down history. So Stark, after noticing William's passion for justice and a desire to help people in need, willingly hands over the keys of his robotic empire to Williams as she takes on the role. I could see him pulling a Danny Glover and saying that he's too old for this stuff. So be like, you know what?
I'm getting too old for this stuff. Yeah, he said stuff.
That's exactly what he said. Don't go watch the original and you can't call me out on it.
Whatever you do, don't fact check us.
Do not fact check this podcast, okay?
Well, no, when they do, we just get another episode.
We just need a corrections department. And I think Joe does a good job of that.
Yep. So our next story there is Steve Rogers is no longer... going to be Captain America in
the MCU.
Caveat, small print. Read that. Make sure you read that.
Well, there are some who are arguing he's not really Captain America now due to the whole Hail Hydra.
Well, there's some arguing he's not really Steve Rogers now. So,
have you been reading those? They're actually pretty good.
Yeah,
there's only like 4 issues, but
they're in my hold. They're in my hold. So,
no. That's right. You get it the old-fashioned way where you support a local business and all
well,
that.
Well, you can support a local business digitally too, but if I'm going to spend $4 or $5 on a book, I am going to have a physical copy that I can have to lug around every 10, 15 years when I move and and then
take up space in my den.
Yep, be a visual reminder to me of how much money I have spent on comic books.
Yeah, but when it's all digital, you're just like, oh, that's a lot of pictures. And then you just try not to think that each one of those costs you a little bit of money.
Well, and then also, good luck handing down your iPad to your descendants. Whereas Nick, he's getting a shiny new comic book collection. Well, not so new comic book collection when he gets a little bit older there. So,
and
probably. So, I like to have the physical copies. So, I, Edgar, if you're listening to this, I will be in soon to pick up my comic book hold. So,
it's good. It's kind of funny when, like, that reminds me of, like, Back to the Future, too, when they're like, this is a very interesting, you know, when he has the book and she's like, this is a very novel idea. This is called dust cover. This is what they used to have on before they had whatever paper. They said, I don't know. I just think it's funny because I think our kids are going to be like, why do you have these books?
Dad, or, you should have gotten them digitally.
You have to use your hands? That's like a baby's toy.
Oh, Frodo. Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, boy.
You know, there are some books I'd like to have, I like to own, but I don't. An individual comic book doesn't have as much appeal to me as, like, a volume or a compendium or a larger one that you can clearly put on your shelf. You know what I mean?
Hey, when I can pay for my kids' college tuition with... Okay, that's never going to happen. But when I can dream that I can pay for my kids' college tuition by selling a copy of Ms. Marvel number one, that might be worth something.
You might be able to buy them lunch one day.
Ms. Marvel number one's worth quite a bit more than that right now.
Well, that's right now.
Come on. She is a very popular character who is not going away anytime soon.
She's going to have a movie, dude. Maybe not that character, but seriously.
Not that character. Look, next issue, she's going to also work for Hydra, and everyone's going to hate her. Because apparently that's what Marvel does when they're done with the character. Not that they're done with her. It's just still, it's like, hell, Hydra. Apparently we're done with him.
Hey, you know what? I'm still waiting for something cool to happen.
I'm guessing that by November, this whole storyline will be wrapped up. Because in November...
Something interesting happened at the end of the newest one. That is giving me hope. Not to spoil it.
Not to spoil it, but I'm going to spoil it.
Yeah. But anyway, MCU.
So, Steve Rogers, when he put down the shield at the end of one of those movies that had a title and stuff.
Civil War?
Yeah, I was deciding whether or not it was a spoiler, and so I was like, well, maybe if I...
Oh, well, what was the last?
Maybe if I don't give him what movie it's from, it's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
It is.
Maybe.
But no, so...
It's, well...
At the end of Civil War, which comes out on this Thursday, onto DVD and Blu-ray.
Digitally.
I am really excited.
You don't get Blu-ray until the 22nd.
Oh, digitally?
Yeah, it's because, like, this new mindset of you don't have to own anything. You can have it digitally, like we were talking about a second ago. You know, it's like, no, I still want to own it. I still want to take it places because when the Wi-Fi breaks down, when the Wi-Fi stops, my DVD player will still work.
I hope. It is very true. But anyway, this Thursday, you're getting Captain America Civil War, and at the very end of that, Steve Rogers slams his shield into the ground and walks away. And that is supposedly him saying, "I'm done as Captain America. I quit."
He's going to be Nomad.
No,
but is he?
Maybe.
He doesn't have to be Nomad.
But all I have to say is they've really got to do some work on that costume if they're going to make that work.
It's a terrible
costume.
Because
Nomad's costume is like fantastically terrible.
The deepest V-neck you'll ever see.
He's got like Colossus glasses that don't have a slit in them, and then this deep V-neck with a big N belt.
But he was only Nomad for a couple issues, right?
Yeah, it wasn't very long. No. But
they may not go that route. Who do you think is going to take up the mantle? Do you think it's going to be Bucky, or do you think it's going to be Sam?
I don't think it's going to be anyone from Team Cap. I kind of think that they'll just let the character stop. I mean, MCU is not going to go on for too much. Oh, I guess they have a whole nother phase.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, you know, they don't have to have Captain America in it. They have so many characters.
Yeah, by eliminating Captain America needing any more movies, it opens up for, you know, it gets more attention on Captain
Panther,
Marvel or
all of the other
Black
ones.
Panther. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But Captain America is a really good polarizing character. I don't think they've used him as well in the movies as they did in the comics, but part of me wonders if it's because in the comics when he was polarizing, comics were mainly an American audience, but nowadays Hollywood has to like wheel and deal China so much. Back with the Avengers Age of Ultron, the poster in America had Captain America front and center, but internationally, he was kind of tucked back in the corner. So do you think they're just kind of ridding themselves of a problem that they're like, well, this appeals to American audiences, but it's not really something that we want to
That's true. I never overseas. Thought about that. But
that's an interesting political side of things, you can, I guess.
You definitely have to think that way because, I mean, so much money is made overseas on these movies. And so, yeah, you
All
definitely
have to.
Yeah. Iron Man 3 had a scene that they showed in China that they didn't show anywhere else. You know, like he did like an ad for a Chinese soda or something like that.
Really? I need to watch that.
You didn't
that.
Know that? There's, no. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but there's rumors that there was an extra scenes for China than there was for America.
Pandering to the audience. That only works when you have the smartest audience like we have. See what I did there?
Yeah,
did
there? Sure.
Yeah. That worked, yeah.
We just completely shut down your idea. Yeah, yeah, I guess our audience
no,
is
No, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was trying to pander to our audience, guys.
We are the smartest. Wait, did we just get that? No. We didn't really understand what you were saying, and we're the smartest.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I think we are the smartest. Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, it's a joke. I get jokes.
Well, see, if they got it, then they're better than you guys. Jeez.
What are we talking about?
Okay. I think that's... We were talking about Captain America and how he's no longer Steve Rogers in the MCU. However...
No. Steve Rogers. He's still Steve Rogers. He's just not
Captain
America.
No, Captain America is not Steve Rogers.
Okay. Entertainment Weekly posted a deleted scene that they got ahead of time that is amazing. It involves Bucky and Sam Wilson both wielding Captain America's shield. It's cool. I suggest you go look it up. It's awesome.
Or we can put it in our show notes.
Well, that means I have to go find it.
Yes. Yes, you do. So that is our top news, and I am really looking forward to all of the different news that's happening out there between the MCU and Marvel Comics. Rebirth started out so good for DC, and now it's just kind of fizzling. So I hope they are able to figure out what they're doing with that.
DC needs to just stick with a plan and go with
it. Did you guys read Rebirth number one? The big issue where Wally West was like trying to get people to remember him?
I read that one. Yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah, it was.
And that's about all that there was
to
it.
They're just waffling. They're just the wafflers. I'm going to call DC the wafflers.
The house of the peeled waffle.
With my waffle iron of justice, I bash people in the head. Nobody gets my reference.
I do. Waffle man! I know the reference.
We may get it. We just may not laugh at it.
Dang it.
No, we got it. It just wasn't funny. Anyway.
Oh, man.
That was I loved that movie. You know, there's just something about...
Nobody gets me.
That's a different movie.
Okay. All right. Before Nick starts to implode on movie quotes, let's jump over into our main discussion. And our main discussion tonight is our Salt Lake Comic Con 2016 panels. You know, it's kind of become a tradition now that before one of these conventions, we sit down and we give you a list of some of our most highly anticipated panels. If you are new to the convention scene, panels are a great way to learn about different fandoms. Panels usually take the format of, you know, a bunch of people sitting at a table talking about one subject, and usually they have some questions and answers thrown in at the very end. Sometimes it's just one person, and sometimes there's no question and answers. Like the Mark Hamill panel, he has requested that there will be no questions and answers because he has lots of stuff under contract that he's like, I can't say stuff and I don't want to come across as a jerk.
Well, because, you know, every question is going to be, can you tell us anything about episode 8?
Yeah, pretty much.
No.
No, I can't.
So in episode 8, are you going to be wearing something? No. I can't respond.
No comment.
I have
no
response to
no
that.
No comment.
Are you going to have your lightsaber? I have no response to that. Is R2 going to be with you? I have no response to that. Wow, this is a great panel.
Yeah.
And then everyone's going to have to say, the amazing panel Mark Hamill did. Stick around for William Shatner. Or not, because...
Dude, I'll just do my impression again of him, and then everyone will be happy.
I don't think we have time for your impression.
Well, so jumping right into it. So, these panels, I don't know, would you guys describe panels any differently? I know this is a question that a lot of new con-goers have.
It's kind of just like a podcast live in a lot of ways.
That's true.
Except for you can interact with the podcasters in real time. Yeah, I really like them. For that reason is that there's been very few times that I've ever actually went and asked a question. I think maybe twice or once. But it's always fun to see, oh yeah, I never thought about that. Like there are so many people that think about stuff in different ways than I do, and it's really fun to kind of get different opinions and stuff when people ask questions, so I like that aspect of it a lot.
Yeah, and you learn so much. Like, even if you are not a member of a certain fandom, but you're, like, kind of interested in it, go, and you will be shocked at how much you enjoy it. Like, I've told this story before about how I sat through the Barbara Eden panel because I wanted to see Stan Lee and have a good seat for Stan Lee, and that Barbara Eden panel is still one of my favorite panels that I've ever been to. And I had no idea really what I Dream of Jeannie was beyond watching it when I stayed home sick from school.
Vic Monahan, or however you want to pronounce his name, is an awesome guy.
Mignogna, I don't know how to say his last name, but he's a voice actor for anime films, and he was awesome. And that was a great example of what you were saying. It was like, I didn't know a lot of the stuff he was talking about. I mean, I've watched my fair share of anime, but I am not a religious, like, watch everything and know everything about it. Every once in a while, I'm like, you know what? I could use some anime, and I just pop something in or find something that I'd like. But, man, he was so grateful and just like, oh, my gosh, you know, anime fans are the best, and this is why. And, you know, and he's coming this time.
Yeah, he plays Captain Kirk in Star Trek Continues, and they are releasing a new episode at Comic-Con. I'm excited about that.
At Salt Lake Comic-Con? Really?
At Salt Lake Comic-Con.
Salt Lake Comic-Con? Tell me more.
Well, I think this is a good place to get started then in our panels. And I am going to go first because I haven't gone first in a few weeks now. And because it's not random. I pretend like it is, but it's not. So I'm going to go, and then Nick is going to go, and we are going to make Jeff go last this time.
What? Just because last time I stole your top pick right off the bat?
Right off the bat. So I've got one panel that I know is on everybody's list. I know it's there. And I'm going to be nice, and I am going to go for something else. And I will just comment when somebody else says the panel. So the first panel that I'm going to talk about is Self-Fulfilling Prophecies, Are Dystopian Stories Dangerous? So the description on this says Mad Max, Fallout, The 100, Night of the Living Dead, The World's End, I Am Legend. We have been fascinated with the end of time since we started telling stories. This panel brings great examples of what makes the genre great and digs into why we are so fascinated with the end of civilization. And this is a panel, I love this genre. Like, this genre, I love thinking, like, what would I do in this scenario? Or how would I prepare for this? Or how would I do things differently than these people? And I am excited to see that this panel is not just some little panel. There are a couple great authors on there, and a couple names I don't know, which makes me guess that they're probably authors as well. But we're getting some big authors there. So James Dashner is one of the guests on there. He's the biggest name on there, so that's what I'm going to go with. But I am excited about this because these dystopian stories, I could watch a different dystopian TV show every week. I don't, because they usually end up being not so good. But I love the concept of the title here. Are they dangerous? Like, are we doing self-fulfilling prophecies? Are we saying, well, the government sucks, and so we elect people who suck in the government? Or corporations are taking over the world, and so we allow corporations to take over the world? And, you know, another one I'd probably throw in there is the Continuum. It's not really dystopian, but, like, the future part of it kind of is. So I don't know. What do you guys think about self-fulfilling prophecies and these dystopian stories?
I just barely finished reading Divergent for the very first time. I never read it.
Wow, man. Just get with the times.
I know. Seriously, I was like, yeah, I really need to read this book.
I've never read it.
You know,
I watched the movie, and I was all like, I don't need to read this book.
See, and I'd never watched the movie because I was, for that reason.
Because of those amazing reviews we just gave it?
I don't know. I'll see the movie because now I have context. And, you know, I mean, it was good. It had interesting ideas in it and stuff. Lena was actually commenting the other day where she had just read a dystopian novel. And she's like, I guess I just read these way too much, because she really loves them as well. And she was like, I can just figure out what's going to happen most of the time. It's just like, yep, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. You know, and so they're getting a little formulaic for her.
Well, but and I also think that a lot of authors are like, oh, well, this sells. And why did this sell? Oh, it sold because it had this combination of things. So I'm going to put in this combination of things.
I love the idea. I mean, I don't love the idea that we're going to live in a world that's like a dystopian universe, but it's such a different like view on life and stuff that they can really bring up. really interesting, like social commentary on stuff like that. And so if they do it right, it's really interesting and really cool. And most of the stories that you just mentioned do that.
Yes.
And so it's really thought-provoking, you know, and I like that. I mean, Walking Dead is just thought-provoking. And even Continuum, I liked that show a lot, mainly because, I don't know, I liked it. It kind of got long-winded in the middle, like stretched out. You could kind of see that they were just doing that, but it had so much potential and then just kind of went, But I liked that show too.
So Jeff, what do you think about self-fulfilling prophecies?
It's scary, man. You know, there's enough writing of how the future's going to suck that eventually it might become true. I think it was, what was that George Clooney movie? Tomorrowland, where like the idea of the future being terrible was creating the future to be terrible. Like for whatever weird Disney science thing. But it was like, yeah, it's, you create a self-fulfilling prophecy and the world's going to end. Like, how many people have a list for stuff what they do during the zombie apocalypse, but don't know what they're going to eat for lunch tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's very true. That is true.
I got a box of Top Ramen in my pantry.
Well, then you're set for the zombie apocalypse.
Yes. Yeah, I was wondering which one that said, which one that was answering.
Okay, continuing on. Who's next? Me? We have anything else to say?
Yes, you're next. Go for it.
Okay, so my first one is one no one else will choose.
Want to bet?
And it is, what does it really take to be a professional artist?
Oh, darn. I'm kidding.
Oh, that was on my list. Ah.
Oh, all right. Well, I was wrong then. There's actually a lot of cool people that are going to be on this panel. There's a lot of comic book artists. One of the ones that I kind of really like or am interested in hearing his thought is Steve Lieber. He's kind of part of the Image comic, The Fix. I don't know if anybody's read that, but it was one of the highest rated comics of 2016. Like it's gotten rave reviews. So it'll be interesting to talk to him. But there's also a guy named Howard Lyon, who is actually religious illustrator, painter slash, you know, stuff. So a lot of the similar style that I have, you know. And so I just think they have a good mix of different people. And the thing says, Howard was thinking of doing this panel with a few seasoned artists who have been in various art positions over a good amount of time and talk about the ups and downs of what to expect when trying to establish a professional art career. I think this panel need to have not only successful artists, but also people who are hiring and portfolio reviewing side of the coin. So I like that. I think it's going to be a cool panel. So any of you artists out there that kind of want to,
you going to take a portfolio, see what it would take?
I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know if I, well, yeah, maybe I will. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. How cool would it be to say, oh, I broke into the industry at Salt Lake Comic Con.
Maybe. Yeah. That'd be pretty
okay.
Cool.
That would be cool. I went to that, you know, we've talked about it a couple times. The first panel that I ever went to at Salt Lake Comic Con was the copyright law one, where it basically said, yeah, all this stuff is stolen and you can't do it, blah, blah, blah. And after that one, I kind of was scared away from how to do things, because I just feel I'm afraid that they're going to be like, yep, it's not going to happen for most of you, because most artists who try to get into the industry don't.
Yeah, it's really hard.
But, you know, some do. And if you have a dream and a passion for it, don't let people say, well, most people don't, because you might be one of those people who do. You never know. So,
well, and like there's always the age-old story of Jim Lee, where his parents were like, you can only do this for a year and then you're going to med school. And so he literally went to every single con he could and just showed everyone he possibly could his portfolio. And then he finally had somebody say, okay, you do it. And, you know, now he's
running DC Comics.
You know, if the desire's there, then do it. So,
okay. Jeff, since we have not taken your panels yet, what's your panel?
You are going to be surprised. It's not the one you're thinking of. I have an acquaintance. I call him friend, but he's really more of acquaintance. I doubt he knows my name. A magician by the name of Paul Draper.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, if you've been to a panel at Comic-Con, there's a good chance he has either moderated or introduced it. He has a great booming voice. He's good for big announcements.
Stage presence.
Yeah, but on, what is it, Thursday night, I believe, If I was professional, I'd have that ready. Yeah, I think it's Thursday. Comic-Con gave him the Grand Ballroom to do his show. And so it's the proper title is Paul Draper Mysteries of the Mind. And he's a mentalist magician acquaintance of mine. And when I found that out, I thought it was pretty cool that, you know, he gets the biggest theater. He did a show last year at in a smaller room, and I think it went over well. And I'm curious to see if he can fill the Grand Ballroom.
Well, so let me say right now, after having worked with the guys who are in charge of the programming, there is in the app for Salt Lake Comic Con, there is a way to rate the panels that you go to. And if you rate something highly, they will give it a bigger venue and they will bring it back the next year. So I would bet you that Paul Draper had them rate him highly in the app. And he's also has a good rapport with the people there. And so they were able to say, you know what, people liked this. Let's give it a bigger place to do it. I mean, that's what happens with a lot of the big panels that get put into the Grand Ballroom is that are not celebrities. They are fan favorites.
Cool. Like Studio C, man.
Studio C, fan favorite, right?
Yeah, wasn't it last year Hollywood Show had two panels and the first one was so big that they gave him another one in the Grand Ballroom and they ended up doing a flash mob.
I think that was it. Actually, the flash mob was at the beginning of the cosplay contest.
Oh, it was? Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. Every year I always intend on going to the cosplay contest, but it's always like, oh, it's so late and I'm so tired and it's Saturday and it's...
And I just want to go home and sleep.
Yeah. That's what it feels like.
So...
Anyway.
Okay.
Go see Paul Draper.
So you go see Paul Draper in the Grand Ballroom Thursday night. Okay. I guess we're back up to me now, huh? All right. My next panel is... I really want to go see Star Trek at 50, Starfleet Academy, A History of Star Trek by the Seventh Fleet. Now, this has a few... There are a few reasons why I want to go see this. If you listened to our episode, Pitching the Final Frontier, one of the ideas that I had was, you know, I really want a show about Starfleet Academy. They have the Seventh Fleet, which is a Star Trek fan group, running this panel. And I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to kind of make it like the Starfleet Academy, I guess, and they're where you are students at Starfleet Academy. I just want to see what they're going to do here. Seventh Fleet, they're a great bunch of people, and that is going to be on Friday at 10 a.m. Okay, either of you going to become Starfleet cadets?
I want to, but I already am a lieutenant commander, as we established and that podcast.
Well, I'm a fleet admiral, and
I don't want to go back. You know, you're a fleet admiral, yeah. So I don't know why you would want to take a step down. From,
well, you gotta see where the new generation's coming in at, and what they're being taught.
Oh, I see.
Undercover boss style. That's what I'm doing.
You're going to be Kylo Ren.
Wow, there's so much wrong with that sentence.
I'm Matt. Kylo Ren is going to come in to the Star Trek universe and destroy all of the cadets because he wants to be like Darth Vader and kill younglings. Wow.
Yeah. What the heck, man?
Wow, man.
I'm sorry. I apologize to all of our listeners for that.
All right. Well, then why don't you apologize by giving us your next panel?
Okay. So my next panel, I have no shame in my love of Larry Correa, and he is doing a panel called Monster Hunter International Presents Writing Action.
Oh, that's right. I saw that one.
Yeah. So, and it's only Larry Correa. So, and I just think he's hilarious, and I follow him on Facebook, and every time I've met him, he's just been really awesome. And he's got a bunch of new Monster Hunter stories coming out that are co-written by other people and stuff like that. And so hopefully I'll get to learn more about the books that I've missed or that I'm going to be reading in the next year. So yeah, Larry Correa. Well, come on.
Well, so Larry Correa is, wow, he's got a lot of panels going on. 3 p.m. on Friday. It is in room 150G. That is his action scenes are awesome. I always get like just completely swept away in his action scenes. So him talking about writing action, I think that would be a really good one.
Well, and I do have to preface this, like, you do need to know that he is very right-wing and very opinionated and very, like, pro-gun. And so that'll probably be
he's more libertarian than he is right wing. Sure. So I don't know if you read Larry Stranger, Intergalactic Insurance Salesman.
that was such
a good book. Or Adam short story.
Adam Baldwin reading it was
while making references to nuts. Jane from Firefly.
And I thought there was another thing where he specifically talked about Adam Baldwin like being the president or something.
Yeah, in one of the realities, Adam Baldwin was the president, and he was reading it, and it was very awesome, very awesome.
It was really funny, and it was free on Amazon.
Yes, it was
for a while. I don't know if it still is on Audible. It was on Audible, Amazon Audible,
same company,
parent company.
So,
yep.
Okay, Jeff.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your next panel?
I gave you two chances to take it. I'm going to take it. Twisted Tunes.
Take it. Twisted Tunes.
Every year, you got to see Twisted Tunes.
Every year. I think Twisted Tunes has been on every single one of these panel shows that we've done. Tell us about Twisted Tunes.
Imagine your favorite cartoon characters reading a movie script with other cartoon characters not involved with that movie at all.
So Jeff Zanini, who is the agent for a bunch of voice actors, brings them in and he sits down with a script. And at Salt Lake Comic Con, they're going to be doing Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
That's weird.
And so he has sat down with the script and he has said, okay, we are going to have Harry Potter. We are going to have Jess Harnell do the voice of Wacko Warner. And we are going to have Voldemort played by Phil Lamar's Hermes Conrad. Yeah.
That would be so funny.
What I'm looking forward to the most probably is Phil Lamar does the voice of the newscaster on Family Guy that always is just one word. Like, tell us about the weather, Wally. It's raining sideways. Thanks, Wally.
it's gonna rain.
That's Phil Lamar, and I really hope Jeff Zanini had thought
now
had
for
thought
the weather
and found just a one line somewhere for him to do it. But this is, there are so many people on this year. Fred Trasker, Jess Arnell, Steve Bloom, Phil Lamar, James Arnold Taylor, and Troy Baker. Like, that is.
How many of those people are in, that's,
four out
I know
of
that
five.
Voice.
I need, so, well, okay.
So you got to get four signatures. And, of course, there's one more that you're not able to be.
Unless I run into him in the bathroom and he has a marker, I'm not going to get Mark Hamill.
I'll promise you that's not going to happen.
I know. Hey, I ran into Doc Brown. I was Christopher Lloyd. I ran into him going Lloyd. Into the one. I ran
Mark
in-
Hamill's security is a little bit better than Christopher Lloyd's.
There was one guy I passed and I thought, oh man, he doesn't look great. And then I realized he was one of the guys from the Boondock Saints. I was like, oh, he's not going to last too much longer here. He looked bad. But anyway, with this Twisted Tunes, I need four of these guys. I already have Jess Arnell, and Troy Baker was not in the movie, but the other four, I already have my money set aside for their signature.
You know, that is really cool. I wish I was as prepared as you, like when the Next Generation cast came with a TNG poster, and I loved the documentary, I Know That Voice, and so, I mean, that's such a great idea to get a poster for that. Did you go out looking for that poster, or did you see the poster and you're like, oh, I should get that?
I went looking for it, and I gotta say, it was kind of a pain to find. Like, it's not as well-known movie as, like, First Contract or the Power Ranger movie, which is another poster I've been getting.
First Contract.
Did I say Contract?
First Contract. It's a story
you
about...
It was right. First Contract, you get $10 million this movie.
I'm sure it was already in their contract.
Woohoo!
No residuals. But anyway, it wasn't as easy to find, but the first year, the voice actors that came were Jess Arnell, Rob Paulsen, and I know the name, Jim Cummings, Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, the three of them came, and I thought, I gotta get Rob Paulsen because I love his podcast and I think he's just hilarious. I listen to the Countries of the World song at least once a month or so. I gotta get him. But then I thought, oh, all these guys did that movie. Oh, this could be interesting. And so I went looking for it and the only one I could find is a smaller than I'd like, but I had to get it on eBay and pretty much every person who signed it has said, I haven't even seen a poster for this. Where'd you get this? He's like, oh, I looked, you know, but I mean, it was.
eBay. Yeah, there's everything on it.
It's not very big.
Tom Kenny made a point of saying, "Oh my gosh, where'd you even get? Like, I haven't even seen one of these." You know, so it's
Yeah. So, you know, it's pretty awesome.
I'm proud of it.
Like, I get to live vicariously through Jeff's awesomeness in this.
That is very cool.
So, yeah, Twisted Tunes, never miss. Last year they did Star Wars Episode 7, and if you could look that up on YouTube, I highly suggest. Just long enough for Jess Arnell to do.
It's in the
just
show
long
notes.
Just long enough to see Jess Arnell do BB-8 as Christopher Walken. It's the greatest thing there is.
Beep, boop, beep.
A beep, 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 boop. Beep, beep.
So, yeah, that's...
oh, man.
I had that on my list, and I was going to throw it in there last thing if nobody else did. But I knew that Jeff would have that, so I was...
I didn't put it on my list because I knew Jeff would.
Yeah, it was one of those. It's like, I should just give that to Jeff, so...
and I will happily take it.
And I will let you. So, because that way I get to sneak more of my propaganda out there. So the next
propaganda.
That's exactly what this is. So the next one that I want to go to, and you know, this Comic-Con, I am looking very, very author heavy. So Nick has already mentioned about, Larry Correia. One of his panels that he is doing Friday night in room 255F at 7 p.m. And now this is an 18 plus because things will get dicey in there, is Salt Lake Comic-Con Match Game Live. And the guests on there are going to be Larry Correia, Melissa Merlot, Crystal Starr, Travis Tate, Danielle Urbralis, Jay Whitaker, and Aaron Lee Yeager. And I know... most of those people in there, and they are hilarious. So match game, if you're like, okay,
Token
they're going to turn over cards and see who match. No, that's not what this match game is. So match game, this is based off of the, it's a panel game show. It was on the air in 1962. Dickie D. Bartolo was one of the main writers. He also wrote for Mad Magazine. And so it would ask questions, a fill-in-the-blank question. Let's see. It, you know, questions like, Johnny always put butter on his blank. And then the panelists came up with the answers.
Say a word. Yeah.
And they... and the goal was to match answers given by celebrity panelists. And they always came up with, like, really, really random and weird answers, usually full of innuendos, but just hilarious. So I'm excited to see what these comedians and authors put down into there. So Match Game Live, Salt Lake Comic-Con edition. I'm sure hoping they have, you know, Luke was going to go back to Tatooine, but he forgot his blank and see, you know, stuff like that. Hopefully they have a better writer than me.
I think that would be funny. I didn't see that one. Man, you're filling up. You guys are filling up my thing more than I had it originally.
Well, good.
So that's what this podcast.
If we all
for,
had the same
good.
Ones. You'd be more screwed than you were before.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding.
I'm just like, holy crap. Okay. So, shuffling here.
Shuffle. 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 Truffle. Shuffle.
Okay. So this one is obvious why I'm choosing it, and no one else is going to choose it. So I am going to go with Professional Wrestling 101 on Friday at 1 p.m. in room 255C. And it just talks about how wrestling is bigger than ever, but it's impossible to not see the global fan base that professional wrestling has. But if you've never really got into it, or maybe you watched it as a kid but didn't really understand what's going on, our presentation gives you the tools to appreciate the world of sports entertainment and will graduate an audience of smart marks. I don't know. I don't understand that last
name. That might have been a typo.
But I'm not a writer. I was like, what the heck does that mean? Anyway, but the thing that's interesting about this is there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 panelists on this panel, and at least one of them is female. So that's... cool.
You know what's interesting? Like, it is clear across the convention floor and right after the John Cena panel. So John Cena is in the Grand Ballroom at noon.
That is.
And then Pro Wrestling 101 is in 255C, which is clear across the convention center.
It's on, yeah, on the other side of the
and
world.
And it's at 1 p.m.
Huh.
That
is not cool.
It seems like that would be one that you would want to put kind of close together or far apart, one of the two.
Yeah, or just time-wise far apart.
That's what I meant.
That's interesting. I didn't even look at that. I mean, I haven't looked that deeply into this. That's no fun. Because I'm going to try to go.
No one's
going to
go
panel.
See the John Cena panel because you can't see him. But I'm
changed.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sorry, I have I have nothing else to
that
add
would
to
be
this.
That would be an interesting that would be an interesting question to like get up on the mic and be like, John Cena, is it hard living through life when people just can't see you? And just see what his response. I know that he's heard that before, and he has a response for it. So I want to hear it, because he is a really funny guy. If you've ever seen him on the Today Show or anything, he is a good interview, and he is smart as a tack, and that's why he goes places, and he's good.
I want to hear his comments on the meme about him, his theme song.
He's talked about it occasionally. And he kind of doesn't like it, because he's like, I can't go anywhere without seeing it. And so it's just, that's the only
reason.
Even
Brian Brandenburg seen it, people.
Yeah, he
that was amazing. That Spider-Man.
That was really.
He's like, mystery guest being announced tonight, and everyone's excited. And there are people who stay up for those who are like, I normally go to bed at 9, but I'm going to stay up till 10. And the video was, you know, the hint was he takes pictures. And so everyone's like, oh, it's going to be Peter Parker. It's going to be Spider-Man. And then so he's like, okay, here's the video announcing it. And it starts out with a scene of Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, swinging Kirsten Dunst, Mary Jane, onto the roof. And then all of a sudden it goes to John Cena.
Who are you?
So, you know who I am. John Cena.
John Cena.
Yeah.
And so what it was about announcement / contest for John Cena photo ops. So the hint that he takes photos means he does photo ops.
I was gonna say, I don't get why he takes photos.
Yeah, who cares? He trolled us all.
Thank you for that clarification.
People
and he apologized the next day.
Minds.
He wrote this big long, He wrote this big long apology that was like, "I'm really sorry to all the people who are upset that I did this."
Here's a coupon code to get a cheaper photo op.
You know, if I were Brian Vandenberg or Dan Farr, anytime you were expected to write an apology letter, I would just say, you know, I apologize that our attempt at humor offended you. But when you run a giant Comic-Con, you can announce the videos however you want.
A non-apology apology.
Like, yeah, just remember, if you're still mad at me, I brought
you. Like, you know what? We don't want you at Comic-Con anyway. You know, if you're offended by it.
No, I don't think they feel that way. They still want to at Comic-Con.
It's like, you know, if you're not going to take the... If you're not gonna,
and that's why you don't run Comic-Con.
Yes. And that is the only...
And that's why you
failed.
That is
the one and
city.
Only reason that I do not run a Comic-Con.
Yep.
Exactly.
Because
right.
I'd be rude to every person who was offended by my humor.
Pro wrestling, you know what? I might go to that panel because, like I said, it's one of those things where if you don't know about a fandom, it's a great place to learn about a fandom. And I don't know about wrestling. I just smile and nod whenever Nick starts talking.
It's fake. It's fake.
What?
I can tell you exactly how it's fake.
Yeah.
It's not. I've already explained
you have explained it a couple times, and I find it fascinating to behind the scenes. I don't know that I want to watch wrestling, but I want to know how it works. And so this panel might be exactly what I want to know. So,
yeah, there's a really cool like documentary. Oh, now I can't remember what it's called.
The Wrestler starring Mickey Rourke?
But no. So back in the day before the internet was as big as it is, and they still had those infomercials during the day where, you know, you had to buy, you know, when, you know, animals attack, and, you know, like they made money doing that. And you would buy the VHS and it would be sent to you, and it was
sorry,
X amount of dollars.
The VHS.
Okay. I've read about these VHS.
One of them was a documentary on a wrestler who broke the moral code and was this big tell-all of like how wrestling works. Like, it is fake, and this is why it's fake. And he wore this dark mask over, and they muffled his voice so that he wouldn't get ostracized and stuff. There's that one, too.
Oh, man.
But there was one for wrestlers. It was right around the same time. I think it was done by the same company. Or, you know, it was very similar to that. But there was a guy that did that, and I got a hold of it, you know, somehow, some way along my, you know, journeys in life. And it was really interesting. I mean, it was like, yep, that makes sense. You know, okay, the end. And then I started looking for it while I was watching it. I was like, yeah, this is awesome. It makes it more fun to watch, in my opinion.
That's cool.
It was like, yes, this is a theatrical presentation, and this is how they're doing
this. So this is a panel to go to if you have never seen that VHS, the VHS. So
you see, kids, VHSs were like DVDs, except you had to rewind them and they were bigger and plastic, and I'm getting all sorts of stuff wrong. I remember VHSs. Scared one of my teachers once when I asked her what it was.
Okay, it was called Exposed Pro Wrestling's Greatest Secrets.
So now
that's what it was called.
Now we're here, and then
it was in 1998.
Okay. Okay, Jeff, wow us with your next pick.
All right. So this one takes place on Thursday at 8 p.m., which is something I didn't realize. Might not actually go. But it's called So You Want to Get Into Tabletop Gaming. For anyone interested,
but do you really?
For anyone interested in wading in the vast and entertaining pool of tabletop gaming, this panel will be your first step into a larger world. That was from them, not me. But yeah, I
and your pocketbook.
Yeah, I think there is always something fun about sitting around and playing a game with people, and especially when you get outside the realm of Monopoly and whatnot. You know, when you start playing Pandemic and whatnot, that's when it starts getting into real tabletop gaming. I don't know, but it's, you know, every Sunday people come over and we play games occasionally, mostly me and Lena, but you know, yeah, and tabletop gaming's fun. You people should be doing it.
So tabletop gaming, does that mean like Dungeons and Dragons and things like that, like the RPG tabletop, or does it mean like Settlers of Catan?
I think that it's any time you're sitting around with a group playing a game.
Because I can sit my iPad on top of the table and call my never-stopping nights game a tabletop game at that point.
Yeah, if you want to be lame, you can, but I mean, like...
Oh, okay. Well, that's that's kind of who I am. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, to be fair, the iPad takes up less space than a drawer full of games, but...
Yeah, yeah. Come on. There are
a lot of tabletop games that they put on the iPad as well, which is
the
fun.
The tabletops have turned, because now I'm saying, just go digital.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, Mr. Head of IT for Salt Lake Comic Con.
Hey. Yeah. Okay. Something like that. Anyway, it's getting late. So I'm going to jump into my third and final panel, right? That's where we're at.
Yep.
So my third and final panel is Behind the Glasses, Why Superheroes Need Secret Identities. And this is a concept that I really enjoy, actually. This is something that I have been thinking about for probably the better part of a year now. I've been thinking about secret identities. And then they announced this panel, and so I'm kind of excited about it. So the little tagline that they have is, with all his amazing powers, why does Superman feel the need to wear a disguise and act human? Why does Batman work so hard to live a normal life outside of his vigilante lifestyle? What makes Arrow, Flash, and Daredevil work so hard to keep their costumed identities secret? This discussion will be about the mental aspects that being just a human are necessary for those life-saving, crime-fighting heroes. And, you know, the panelists, you know, it's your standard panelists. There's some podcasters, some bloggers, and some all-around good nerds on there. And they're going, you know, they're talking about why the superheroes need secret identities. Because if you think about it, pretty much every superhero has a secret identity or a life behind the mask. You know, whether the secret identity is not so secret or not is another story. But you know, every single one of them has a job, and so if they can be a superhero, why can't we? Is kind of what I've been thinking about. And so now,
yeah, that's cool.
Now I get to hear some other nerds talk about why these heroes need those identities.
I always like that people think differently than I do. So like I said before, they're going to say something that you might not have thought about and broaden your horizons on the subject. So that's what's fun about these panels. Okay, so the next one I'm going to do is for Lena, because I know that this would be something Lena would want to go to. And it is Cries in the Dark, Paranormal Investigator. How can you help those that have passed on? Paranormal Investigator Tom Carr talks about how and what you need to be a ghost hunter. And that's that sort of thing fascinates Lena. And it's whether or not you believe in ghosts or whatever, it's just kind of fascinating to hear about somebody who does it for a living. But yeah, this panel will be on Thursday at 8 p.m. in 251A.
I am not the paranormal kind of guy, because then all of a sudden every bump I hear in the night is going to make me think of ghosts.
Oh, man.
So,
watching Constantine and the wind blowing your door shut is probably the most terrifying thing that's happened to me.
I can imagine.
That's funny.
Yeah. Jeff, you're going to wrap us up.
Yeah, I can do that. This is kind of a twofer. It's voice animations again. But there are two panels, the voice of Marvel Animation and the voice of Star Wars Animation. I don't really know the times because I'm tired. But yeah, it's essentially going to be interviewing the people who voice Marvel cartoons and Star Wars cartoons. Like, I know the voice of Hulk is going to be one of them, and the voice of Obi-Wan is also going to be here. So yeah, I'm looking forward. I love voice cartoon work. I find those people hilarious.
There are a lot of voiceover panels, actually. You've got the Marvel one, but then you also have two Hulks playing Marvel's Big Green Giant. And the description is, me Hulk, this my panel. Me also Hulk. Yeah, my panel. No, my panel. Hulk smash. And so it's got Lou Ferrigno and Fred Tatisciore. Yeah, that's how you say that. Just like all Probably the other not. Names on the podcast tonight. and that's so funny. It's got that. So yeah, there's a bunch of voiceover. You got the Star Wars one. It's all Disney anyway, right?
Technically, but they're separating like Marvel from Star Wars. But still, it's oh darn, I have to sit through two panels. You know,
like, oh, that's a shame.
I
have to have 2 hours of panels.
Yeah, seriously.
So disappointed.
I have to spend twice as much time with celebrities that I enjoy listening to. Oh, life's so hard at a nerd at Comic-Con.
Yeah, so. Okay, well, you know, these are not the only panels we will be going to. We did not even mention the Mark Hamill panel in these choices because that's an obvious we're going to the Mark Hamill panel.
Yeah, and
it's obvious. I'm going. Jeff, it's obvious. Don't even argue.
How many times are you going to be able to see Mark Hamill in your life?
This is his only U.S. convention appearance in 2016.
But still, I don't know if I like the idea of having to go down to the arena and then, you know, like being able to say, yeah, I was in the room with, you know, 100,000 other people. And it's, I don't know.
Only 20.
I know. But still, it's just, I don't know.
I'm there. I'm so there. I think my nephew is going to take school off and sleep over so he can come.
That's
like, I mean, this is a big deal.
Come on. You just got to be in the room one time. Just one time.
Yeah, we'll
just
see.
Just come to it.
I just want to be able to say, it's kind of like I wear with a badge of honor that I have
there.
Seen Michael Jordan play. I've seen Michael Jordan play.
Exactly. So
there's not a lot of people that can say that when I'm 80, right? So just saying. You could say I was in the room with Luke Skywalker, and then your kids would
Who's
be like,
Luke Skywalker?
Daddy, how was it? Oh, you're going to train your kids better than that. And if you don't, I'm going to slap you.
I have no intention of having children. The crazy ends with me.
On that note, let's wrap this up. Be sure to subscribe over in iTunes. While you're there, you can leave a review, drop some stars our way. It's not scientifically proven that it does any good, but it sure makes us feel good.
Yes, it does.
You can find the show notes over at fandompodcast.com. You can reach out to us at fandompodcast.com/contact, facebook.com/fandompodcast, feedback@fandompodcast.com. You can try smoke signals. I don't know. I haven't learned those yet. Do either of you have smoke signals down?
I'm working on it.
Hey, I'm an Eagle Scout.
Okay. So smoke signals. Nick will reply to all your smoke signals.
We just have to be looking at the same time, which is kind of hard to coordinate. So you might as well just do it online. You say, okay, I'm going to tell you the smoke signal now, and then we'll do it.
Okay. All right. So reach out to us online. Tell us when to be looking for the smoke signals, and I'll send Nick out to go look for the smoke signals.
Or just leave your message while you're online like a sane person would.
No, that's too easy, Jeff.
Way too easy. We gotta. If somebody out there knows how to do smoke signals, you better believe they want to use the opportunity to use smoke signals. I tried carrier pigeons one time. The birds didn't like me very much, so let's avoid those.
They were intimidated by your large stature.
That must have been what it was.
Oh.
Yeah. So be sure to subscribe in iTunes. I already said that.
But do it anyway.
Tell us what panels you want to go to.
Reach out to us. Tell us what panels you want to go to. Thank you, Nick. That's tell us which ones to look for you at. I want to go to a lot of them, but because I am working, I will not necessarily be at all of them. But I really would like. I would really love to see any of you if you want to reach out and tell us. So please do that. We are looking forward to seeing you this weekend if you so happen to be in the Salt Lake area.
I think that Jeff should also offer what he did last time, that if anybody comes up to him and says, hey, I listened to you on the Fandom Podcast, do a card trick for me. He should
if you
do
just
it.
Say, I heard you do one, I'm probably going to hit you. If you politely ask, say, hey, I heard about your podcast. Would you mind showing me something?
Hey, you do a magic trick for me now.
Yeah, that's
now.
I want my free milk.
Hit, and I'll be. I didn't bring this up. I'm going to try to cosplay as Negan, and I'm going to have a baseball bat. So be warned. You're warned. You're rude. Lucille's hungry.
It has to be plastic. Wow, geez. It has to be plastic.
They don't need to know that, Brandon.
They look really closely. Trust me. They are kind of neurotic about that.
No, like, I'm okay with Comic-Con knowing it's plastic. Just the jerk who's being rude doesn't need to know it's plastic.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, it's a real...
It's totally a legit baseball bat with barbed wire.
Jeez.
Totally.
And I'm sorry that I came off mean to Jeff at that moment. And I'm pretty sure that our listeners would not say it in that way.
We have the best, smartest, kindest listeners ever. And so we don't have to worry about that. And
would you please do a card trick for me?
Please. Pretty please.
The proper...
With a cherry on top.
If you don't say it in those words,
no. If you just say baseball bat, do a trick, it's gonna be
do a trick now, monkey.
Yeah, exactly. That's gonna get you.
It's dance,
get
monkey.
You know,
dance.
Real quick.
All right. So, Jeff will do you a magic trick if you ask him nicely. And until next time,
I really do hate that Bob Barker.
Hail Hydra!
May the fandom be with you.